A revolution is brewing in Iran. In a country where removing your headscarf could send you to prison for years, women are now burning them. It's part of a protest movement that is posing a huge threat to the country's brutal regime.
I saw a video of the security forces bashing a head of a woman against the sidewalk. They have been killing, they have been blinding people, they have been beating people.
The estimated average age of the protesters is 15.
It's hard to see young girls dying in Iran.
I've been covering the region now for 30 years. I haven't seen anything parallel to this. You really have to go back to 1979, the Islamic Revolution, to see anything akin to a protest which has had so much traction.
The successes of the revolution that founded the Islamic Republic could offer clues about how to overthrow it.
For these protests to become not just an uprising which can succeed or fail, but actually result in the toppling of the regime, we need to look at areas of change. The first is the protesters themselves. Until now, not having a leader has actually been a source of strength because there isn't a leader to arrest and snuff out. But at some point, they need to have coherent messages. They need to have a body, perhaps, which the outside world can start to engage with and can be seen as a representative of a future Iran.
In the 1979 revolution, that leader was Ayatollah Khomeini. Protesters rallied in support of his vision of creating an Islamic Republic. That gave him strength.
It could be at some point that you do get a figure who emerges. You've already had spokespeople who have come out and said, our next leader, our next Khomeini, is going to be a woman.
At this point, there are a few people that Iranian people look up to. Masih Ali-Nejad, she has been fighting this fight for 8 years. She started a social disobedience campaign that was about compulsory hijab. Reza Pahlavi, the son of the last king of Iran, he has some supporters among Iranians. Hamed Ismailyoun, a dentist and a writer in Canada. He has been very active. He has organized rallies in more than 120 cities outside Iran. One thing that might be missing from the puzzle that's pushing the revolution forward is the coalition outside Iran. And there are people there, they're ready, but they have to come together. They have to come together.
Another lesson from 1979 is that regime change takes time.
The protests have gone on longer pretty much than any other that there's been in the history of the Islamic Republic, but they've still only been there for a relatively small time compared to that of 1979. The protests that began in the spring of 1978 didn't really reach fruition until over a year. Weeks could go by with actually very little activity on the street, but there was clearly a sense that they were building up into something. You're starting to get that sense at the moment in Iran. Many young Iranians feel that they've just burnt too many bridges to go back. The level of radicalism that you're seeing on the streets now, the level of violence actually you're seeing on the streets, mobbings of policemen and of clerics, they've been torching billboards of the supreme leader. They're getting to a point where they know if they pull back, the regime is going to come right after them, and they can't afford to do that.
But toppling a regime doesn't just depend on the protesters. The regime itself needs to make mistakes too, like the Shah did.
What really transformed protests into revolution were kind of serious mistakes by the Shah and his security forces. Sometimes they would seem to be weak and rein back and not do very much. Other times they would overreact. There were massacres, and the security forces so far haven't committed the sort of mistakes that those of the Shah did in the run-up to the 1979 revolution. Then within the regime itself, until now you haven't seen any major defections. I think you would need to see some within the system decide that they couldn't stand by the supreme leader, and see that given the choice between the supreme leader and Iranians, they were going to choose their own population. And I think critically that has to happen within the security forces. As long as the security forces stand by the system, you know, this kind of hybrid form of clerical and military rule is going to sustain itself. And then I think also perhaps you need to see external powers start coming off the fence.
A
Until now, their primary focus has been on having a nuclear deal with the regime. At some point, they need to start looking at what a future Iran might look like. And to have some idea about what that transition might look like, I think could bring stability, not just for Iran, but for the region as a whole, and perhaps even for the world.
For the time being, Iranians are still out protesting.
There is a lot of fuel that keeps Iranian people going day after day. We are fighting against oppressors, so this is a story of people winning against oppressors. It's hard to see people dying in Iran. It's hard to see young girls dying in Iran. The hope is all we have. The hope is all we have that we can, you know, get rid of this regime and have a different government and have a bright future and be able to sing and dance in the street. It's not too much to ask.
Thank you for watching. To read more of our coverage on Iran, please click the link and don't forget to subscribe.